questions and answers on Islamic beliefs.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Assalamu alaikum to you, dear listeners of iRide, the English radio call of Islam page. Well, welcome to another episode of the program Question and Answer on Islamic Beliefs. I'm Atta, the host of this program. Within the studio, we have a very special guest speaker from the Islamic House of Qom, Shaykh Nur Muhammad. Assalamu alaikum, Shaykh.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. I'm very happy to be here.
You're welcome. Okay, Shaykh Nur Muhammad, for today's discussion, we want to talk about we can say the concept of sihr, we can say that is magic and sorcery according to Islam. And the text of the Holy Quran, how does the text of the Holy Quran and the religion of Islam tackle the issue of magic and sorcery? How does the text of the Holy Quran refer to these two concepts?
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. About the concept of magic and sorcery, you know that if you look at the verses of Noble Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in some verses explain this issue. For example, in some verses Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that فَإِذَا هِبَالُهُمْ وَعِسِيُّهُمْ يُخَيَّلُ إِلَيْهِ مِنْ سِحْرِهِمْ أَنَّهَا تَسْعَى. In that time his robes and staffs appeared to him to have some movement. Actually, this was talking about the time of the Prophet Moses. And you know that there was, in that time, there was a lot of magicians.
Yes.
Supporting the king of Pharaoh.
Yes.
And they have some kind of, you know, magic activities in the before Prophet Moses. Of course, I do not want to go to the detail of that story. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describing their magic, he said that يُخَيَّلُ إِلَيْهِ مِنْ سِحْرِهِمْ أَنَّهَا تَسْعَى. It appeared to him that it has some movement. And beside that, behind that, it does not have any, behind that, it didn't have any reality.
Yes.
Some other verses of Noble Quran, for example, we have that فَلَمَّا أَلْقَوْ سَحَرُوا أَعْيُنَ النَّاسِ. They bewitched the people's eyes. So, from these verses of Noble Quran, we understand that they, at least part of the magic and sorcery, they do not have the real effect and real impact on the existence of a human being or any other natural being.
That's right.
But if you look at other verses of Noble Quran, we understand that maybe some part of the magic has some real effect, actually some mental effect on human being. فَيَتَعَلَّمُونَ مِنْهُمَا مَا يُفَرِّقُونَ بِهِ بَيْنَ الْمَرْءِ وَزَوْجِهِ. So, they taught some kind of sorcery which separates between man and his wife.
That's right.
So, whether the separation of, you know, wife and husband is actually is a real one, I want to say that whether this magic has some real effect on these two individuals or they did have some role in the mental, you know, process of human being. Of course, some scholars, they have some kind of debate on this issue. But at least all, you know, Shia scholars, they have this understanding of the verse of Noble Quran that magic at least has some mental effect on human being.
Yes.
It is clear. It is granted.
Yes.
It has some mental effect on the mind of the human being. But behind that, whether it has the actual, you know, existential effect or impact on the outside existence, realm of existence, it is not, you know, so much obvious and clear.
That's right.
For our scholars.
Is it true that according to Islamic rulings, sihr and jadu, you know, I mean, magic and sorcery and teaching them are haram?
Actually, it is very clear. According to Islamic laws, you know, learning magic and sorcery is strictly forbidden.
What is the reason? What is the main reason for that?
Let me, before that, share the narrations. For example, we have that As-sahiru kal-kafir wal-kafiru fi-nar. the magician is like the unbeliever, and unbeliever is in the hellfire. You know, it has been considered to be one of the evil action, and the reason of that, maybe part of the reason and philosophy of that, is because is effect on the natural process of the activities of people. Part of the reason is that actually because these kind of sorcery and magic cause some kind of disorder in the daily activities of human being.
That's right.
Okay. And it has some negative impact on the on the behavior of people. It causes a lot of disorder and trauma for the families. I think it's very clear that why magic has been forbidden in the religion of Islam.
That's right. We know that when we refer to the text of the Holy Quran, there were some differentiation between mu'jaza, the miracle, and sihr, or magic. Exactly. And sorcery. According to the text of the Holy Quran, what is the main difference?
You know that about the miracle, actually, it is God-given power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, mm-hmm, to the Prophet or to the OCR.
That's right.
You know, to the successor of the Prophet, actually. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them this ability and power to have some kinds of miracle and to show it for people. It has some, real effect on the, it is kind of reality on behalf of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, showed it, via this, for example, prophet or messenger or the successor of the Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And of course, we have many examples of the miracle of noble prophet Muhammad and other, messengers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But sorcery and magic is totally different.
Yes.
Because part of that, as I mentioned, is playing with the eyes of people,
Yes.
It appeared to them that it has some effect, Part of that is like that. And of course, it has some effect on the mental, process of human being, mental understanding of human being. They think that it has some effect on the, those people. And for example, sometimes it separate between man and woman. All of that,
yes.
It is not divine. It is not from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No sorcerer claim that I am messenger of Allah, or for example, I am prophet.
Yes.
And I done that in order to believe in me. No, they just want to cause trouble for people. They want to harm people. And they want to cause disorder. They have the evil purposes for themselves. So the concept of miracle, which is divine, which is from Allah subhanahu
That's
wa ta'ala,
right.
is totally different from the magic and sorcery.
And we know that in the text of the Holy Quran, we have in Surah Baqarah, ayah 102, the ayah of sihr, or the ayah on magic and sorcery, that some of the Jews has addressed Prophet Muhammad and referred to Prophet Solomon as a magician. And then this verse was revealed that we can say this was not so. Is it so?
Exactly.
That's right.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that Prophet Suleiman is not the... Or Solomon.
Solomon, yes.
Solomon. Prophet Solomon is not sorcerer.
Yes.
And actually it was from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who granted him this gift and this power to have done this kind of, activity
right.
that he had. Yes.
Questions and answers on Islamic beliefs. On IRIB English Radio. You can send your questions to englishradio@irib.ir.
Sometimes this concept in the religion of Islam is changed into a kind of superstition too, isn't it? I mean, a kind of the concept of khurafa or superstition has entered into the terminology and also the public life of the people. For example, if you write this dua or that dua or this ayah and that ayah, you can bewitch the people or put them under your spell or something like that. Is it true?
Exactly.
And that, are these true, this ulum khafiya, this hidden, we can say, or ulum qariba, the strange knowledge and the science that some of the people have, are they true at all or not?
You know that, first of all, most, if not all,
yes,
in the, you know, in that time, that in the contemporary era that we are living, most, if not all, claimants who claim that I know this sorcery or magic, they are false claimants.
Fake ones.
They have fake ones. They have no information about that. They have no power to do anything. Rather, they want to, as you mentioned, they want to earn money, you know, via these claims. And after all, but the, as I mentioned, according to the verse of Noble Quran, at least magic has some, you know, effect on the mind of people, at least, you know. It has, but very, very few people, rarely some people that have this power to have this, you know, sorcery. But after all, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that had it, without my permission, you cannot do any harm to people,
mm-hmm,
you know.
Yes.
And of course, it is allowed for people to learn magic in order to prevent or
yes,
to, you know, annihilate the effect of the magic. And of course, we have a lot of recommendation in order not to magic affect you, like, for example, reciting some verses of Noble Quran in order to stop the magic,
okay,
to affect. Some verses of Noble Quran, of course, I do not want to go to the detail of
mm-hmm
that. We have supplication in order to prevent. But after all, generally speaking, if you resort to Allah subhanahu mm-hmm wa ta'ala, and if you ask him to safeguard you,
yes,
for sure Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will safeguard you from all, you know, evil,
that's
effect
right
of the magic. For example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that, فَيَتَعَلَّمُونَ مَا يَضُرُّهُمْ وَلَا يَنْفَاهُمْ. Very explicitly, whatever you practice through magic is harmful for yourself.
Yes.
It has no benefit for you nor for people. Rather, you should, avoid from having any kind of sorcery or magic, even in the real sense of that.
That's right.
Because this is strictly forbidden in Islam.
That's all right. This includes, as you said, protection, for example, from black magic or evil eye. Or, for example, demons, evil jinn, okay? The concept of jinn, you know, and the existence of the jinn and the evil jinns, because we have good jinns and we have evil jinns, okay, is also another topic which is really fascinating. And there have been some techniques even used by so many people during the history in order to stop, as you said, the power of the magic spell and sorcerers.
You know,
life,
in all things that you mentioned, for example, the concept of existence of jinn
mm-hmm
is clear.
Clear.
There is no
yes
doubt that
yes
we have the some jinns, of course, with the Islamic and Quranic explanation to that,
mm-hmm,
not some superstitions, because we have a lot of superstitions with regard to the jinn, with regard to the, I don't know, magic and so on and such issues. But the, you know, the real existence of jinn, there is no doubt about that. We have, according to the verse of the Quran, for example, the concept of eye, evil eye,
that's right.
We have it in the, even in the, at least in the narrations, we have these kind of ideas. But I want to emphasize again, I want to, you know, have the, again, to reiterate myself that the, unfortunately, many false ideas, fake ideas have been attached to these realities.
That's right.
And most of the ideas that you, for example, you see online, some people
yes
claim that we can, for example, know the this kind of magic or sorcery. Most of them, if not all, they want to only receive money,
that's right,
via that. And most of the claimants in this issue are false and pseudo people.
That's all right. Okay, thank you very much, Sheikh Nur Muhammadpour, for a nice elaboration regarding how does the religion of Islam and the text of the Holy Quran talk about the issue of sorcery and magic. It was very kind of you.
My pleasure.
And thank you very much, dear listeners, for listening to this episode of the program Question and Answer on Islamic Beliefs. To another episode, God bless you all. Fi amanallah.
Inna fil jannati nahran min laban. Inna fil jannati nahran min laban. Li Aliyin wa Husayn wa Hasan. Li Aliyin wa Husayn wa Hasan. Inna fil jannati nahran min laban. إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن لعلي وحسين وحسن لعلي وحسين وحسن كل من كان محبا لهم كل من كان محبا لهم يدخل الجنة من غير حزن يدخل الجنة من غير حزن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن